Hey guys, it's Thumper with Comic Book FNG. This is the inaugural episode. This is the first really ever podcast that I've ever done. So be gentle if you're listening. I do listen to a lot of podcasts, but I've never actually done one before. And what I want to talk about in this podcast, if you can't tell from the title, is Comic Book FNG. FNG stands for Frickin' New Guy. Censored there a little bit, but what I want to talk about in this podcast is the comic book world, really, and trying to get into the comic book world from really either knowing nothing or knowing something. I mean, we've all seen the Marvel movies and the DC movies. We know the core characters: Iron Man, Captain America, Hulk, all those guys. You know, we know those characters, but there's such a huge universe of comic books that it's really tough to break into, because there's such a history with these characters. I mean, there's so many story arcs and so many comics that back up, you know, our favorite main characters. Like, say, Wolverine. I mean, Wolverine's got thousands of comics, and Spider-Man alone, it has, I think, between, like, 3,000 and 8,000 comics just for Spider-Man. That's not including the crossovers and the other story arcs, say, like, the Avengers that he was in and stuff like that. You know, it doesn't include those. Those are just his comics alone, his story arcs. So it's really a daunting universe to try and get into. It's tough to decide where to start. I mean, there's so much content, and there's so many different story arcs, and the characters have been rebooted so many times, there's really no starting point. So what I did, and what I'd like to help out with, you know, in this podcast is kind of take you through my process and how it's been for me, not knowing much about the characters short of what I got from the movies and just, you know, Googling them or reading about Wikipedia or something like that. So that's more what I'd like to do with this, is kind of give you a roadmap into the world of comics and kind of where I started and what's a good way to really get into it. And honestly, the way I did it, I knew the characters, like the Avengers and the X-Men, and I just kind of jumped into characters that I already knew. I found this great app made by Marvel. It's called Marvel Unlimited, and it works on any iOS device or Android device, and it's a lot like Netflix for comics. You know, there's a monthly fee, and you have access to this huge, and I mean massive, backlog of comics and the comic world. So if you're ever feeling like you don't want to go to the comic book store and try to find a full story arc or anything like that, you know, pick up that app. Honestly, I don't even know if I'm allowed to talk about it. I have no idea about the copyrights or anything like that, but it's a fantastic app. I use it myself. And it works great, you know. And the first real bridge into the comic book world I had was Hellboy, and that came out. The movie came out mid 2000s, and it was really the first thing I saw that was based off of a comic book character, ignoring the obvious ones like Blade and the Hulk that came out in the early 2000s. You know, the one that was jalopy green, and Hellboy came out. It was directed by Guillermo del Toro, and it was a fantastic movie. His character's design is just absolutely brilliant, and I loved those movies. So I thought, you know, where did this come from? So I looked up the history of Hellboy, and you know, I'll be damned, it was a comic by Dark Horse Comics, which I think is a subsidiary of Marvel. So I picked up some Hellboy comics, and the story that I first started with is called the Darkness Falls story. And one of the things that really caught my eye and really catches a lot of people's eyes when it comes to comics is the artwork. You know, the cover artwork really caught my eye. It had a really minimalistic feel to it that I really liked, and I picked that up. And my mistake was starting midway through the story. I didn't know there were 5 of them. Obviously, I saw the number on the cover, but I couldn't find the first one. So I started midway through the story, but I still loved it. I mean, and a lot of that goes down to the artwork and the writers that went into the comic. And I believe those were done by Mike Mignola. He was the one that penned, or at least he did the artwork for the comics. I may be mistaken on that. But they were fantastic, you know, and it really got me into the world of comics that I always thought they couldn't tell a story with, you know, a 26-page comic. There's no way they could tell a whole story in just one comic. And, you know, I started learning that a lot of comics, they'll run over what's called a story arc. And in that story arc, you know, it's 6 comics that carry along the same story. And what I thought was them trying to smash all the story into one comic, they actually, you know, they breach it over 6 to any number of comics they want to do. I mean, I read the Wolverine Origins comics, because let's be honest, the movie wasn't great. I mean, we all love Hugh Jackman, but that movie wasn't great. So I turned to the comics, and I read the comics, and there's 50 of them. And the Wolverine Origins is the story arc. And that handles... It basically is a rehashing of Wolverine's origin story through his memories and flashbacks. That is the way it works. And at this point, he's got his memories back, and it's... Each issue, each book has a combination of flashbacks and what's happening in present time. And his son pops in, and his son is just, you know, an evil little twat, and he's a great character. I loved it. The whole origin story arc was fantastic, and it really brought a lot of things to light that I didn't know about the character. I mean, we've all seen him in the movies. You know, Hugh Jackman does a fantastic job, and I can't picture any other Wolverine. But there's so much more depth to the character that a lot of people don't know, because they don't know how to break into that comic world. You know, there's this huge library of comics that have explained Wolverine's history, that have explained Wolverine's background and how he got where he was, how he lost his memory, you know, how he got his memory back, how he got his adamantium, which obviously we all know. And there's this, you know, it's daunting how much information there is about these characters, and you don't know where to start. You know, you don't know where to jump in. You don't want to jump in the middle of a story like I did. I mean, you definitely can, but you're definitely going to be confused about what's going on. You know, the characters aren't going to make sense, the story's not really going to make sense, so you're really just jumping in. And the story arc that I wanted to talk about today has 2 of my favorite groups of superheroes in it. It was the Avengers versus the X-Men. Now, this story arc, it didn't do great with the ratings. A lot of people didn't really like it. But I personally loved it. The artwork was fantastic. The art was done by John Romita Jr. and a few others, I believe, but he was the name that I could remember. And I really the scenes in the books were fantastic, the way they were put together, the emotions that they brought out, you know, that they could invoke with just, you know, a picture in a comic book. And that's one of the things that really surprised me about this is comic series it really made you want to read the next one, you know. And anytime I got spare time, you know, I'd pick up my tablet and I'd read a little bit. And the further I got into the story, the better it became, and the harder it was for me to put down my tablet and keep doing what I was doing. I think I actually lost a couple hours of work, you know, just reading this, don't tell my boss, but reading this story arc. And that was one thing I never expected from comics, was it would be able to pull you in. You know, I never read comics as a kid or anything like that, and I always watch the movies. I've always been a movie guy. But once I started reading the comics, I realized that there's a reason that they've been around for so long. They're fantastic. The stories they tell are fantastic. The characters, especially if you already know them, are fantastic. And honestly, getting into it now isn't that bad. Because, yes, there's a lot of information. It can be confusing. There's a lot of different characters. But your favorite characters that you've seen in the movies are so fleshed out. They've got such a history that, you know, it's not like going to the movie where you didn't know any of the characters. You know, you're learning about them now. But these guys, they have such a fleshed out history and such a well-rounded characters. There's a lot of character development in them, and it's really surprising how much they can put forth in a comic. So to go back to it, to Avengers versus X-Men. The whole story arc deals with the Phoenix Force, is what it's about. Spoilers if you haven't read it, but it's been out for a few years. I believe it came out in 2012, but I just wanted to talk about it because it was the first arc that I got into and that I really enjoyed. So it deals with the Phoenix Force, and now we have seen the Phoenix Force on the big screen before. We saw the Phoenix Force in X2, and we saw the Dark Phoenix Force in X3, The Last Stand. Now, and as much as you like that movie, you know, I'm not sure. I enjoyed that movie as well. I think the first two X-Men were really the Untouchables. I mean, they did such a fantastic job with those movies, and really they kicked off the whole comic book superhero series. So we see the Phoenix Force in X2 when the X-Men are at Alkali Lake, and you see Jean Grey. She's outside of the ship, and everybody else is inside, and she uses her telekinesis to shut the doors of the ship, power it on, and start lifting it in the air. We all remember the scene. It was really emotional. It was a fantastic scene. And then the dam breaks, and the water starts flooding down, and she throws out her hand, and she splits the water like Moses, and we start to see her catch fire, basically. Her eyes become red and fiery, and her body is engulfed in this bright red flame in the middle of the snow and the water. And that itself is the Phoenix Force. In the movies, it's already in Jean Grey in the movies. In the comics, it's a cosmic force that comes from somewhere in the universe. Now, I don't know much about the Phoenix Force, like I said. I mean, I just jumped into these stories. And so I don't really know a lot about the Phoenix Force. Now, spoilers again. These comics do deal with the Phoenix Force. And Jean Grey is not in these comics. This is actually the second time the Phoenix Force has come to Earth. Now, we open up in the comic on this guy, this Nova guy. Now, if you remember Guardians of the Galaxy, the Nova Corps and Nova Prime. So if you remember, you know, Glenn Close, you played Nova Prime. And the Nova Corps were the guys that had the three glowing lights in their armor. And their home planet was Xandar, and they were the ones where the whole business ended up in their planet. You know, Ronan the Accuser, he was the one that was trying to kill everybody with the Infinity Stone. He was trying to kill Xandarians, or the people that, you know, hold the Nova Corps. Now, this guy, he's part of the Nova Corps. And his name is Sam Alexander. And he's just barreling through the universe. You see him flying through solar systems, and he's just, you know, just barreling through. And he eventually gets to Earth. And when he crash lands, the Avengers know about it, and they're there when he crash lands, and he hits Earth hard. I mean, he takes the brunt of the planet to the dome. And he gives a vague warning to the Avengers before he drops into a coma. And they figure out, Iron Man, I believe it was, figures out that the threat is the Phoenix Force. And it's flying through the solar system, and it's coming back to Earth. And they don't really know why yet, but it's definitely coming, and that was his warning. That's why he was, you know, flying through the universe and trying to get the Earth to warn them that the Phoenix Force is coming back. And now we don't know why the Phoenix Force is coming back. And Wolverine tells Captain America that he believes that the Phoenix Force is coming for a mutant character called Hope Summers. And she's one of the newest mutants. Now, a little backstory here. The mutants are living in a place called Utopia. And there's really only about 200 mutants left. Now, I don't remember why. I think it was because some villain or some man-made virus or something stopped the mutant gene from showing up in newborns. And so the mutants are dying out. I mean, there is not a lot of them left. Like I said, there's about 200 left. So we find out that the Phoenix Force is coming for Hope Summers. And so Captain America and the Avengers, they travel to Utopia, and they're talking to Cyclops, and they want Cyclops and the X-Men to hand over Hope so that they can basically protect her from the Force, the Phoenix Force. And Cyclops just goes nuts. He refuses. He believes that Hope is the solution to this dying breed of mutants. He believes she's basically the mutant messiah. I mean, she's the superpowered Jesus, for lack of a better term. And so basically he throws the Avengers out, well, at least tries to. There's a little bit of a tussle, and Captain America calls in the Avengers on Utopia. And that's basically how the battle really starts. That's, you remember in Civil War how the countries banded together to get the heroes under one banner or rules and regulations for the heroes. That's basically what happened here, but it was an argument between Cyclops and Captain America. So the Avengers invade Utopia, basically. And it all war breaks out between the Avengers and the X-Men. So Emma Frost, what she does... Now she's, if you remember, Days of Future Past. She's the blonde one that can... She can turn her skin into diamond. And so she takes Hope and she brings her into the compound and leaves her with these guys called the Lights. Basically for her protection. Now, Hope just... She's not having any of it. So she knocks all of them out, and she thinks she's the whole cause of the war, and she's thinking, you know, this is my fault, I should be the one that finishes it. So she goes out and she tries to finish it, and all in all, she ends up meeting up with Spider-Man and Wolverine, who are trying to find her. But she just goes nuts on him, and she's already growing her Phoenix powers, and she beats the crap out of both of them. So she basically leaves Earth, and she goes to this place on the moon. I don't remember what it's called. It's some strange place on the moon that still has atmosphere. And the Avengers and the X-Men are still basically just battling it out in Utopia. And while this is all going on, Thor takes the team, the Secret Avengers, and they fly out into space, and they're going to take on the Phoenix Force head on. We'll come back to that later. So basically what's happening now is that the Avengers and the X-Men are fighting against each other. Hope has escaped. And we've got Thor and a team up in space trying to attack the Phoenix. They're going to find it, and they're going to attack it. So at this point, the X-Men, they drop their weapons, and they convince the Avengers that they've surrendered. All while Cyclops' team, some secret team, escapes from Utopia and tries to track down Hope. The Avengers find out about it, and they follow, using the character Rachel Summers to operate Cerebra, which they're using to try and find Hope. And that's how they find out that Hope has actually masked her trail. She's hiding from Cerebro. But this whole time that that Rachel's trying to find Hope is she's also working for Cyclops. She's a double agent. And then Wolverine and Captain America get into it, and there's a whole argument. Wolverine is thinking that Hope needs to be killed because, I mean, if you remember The Last Stand, the movie, Wolverine, the end of it, spoilers if you haven't seen it, did end up killing Jean Grey just to stop the Phoenix Force. And he's thrown out of the plane by Captain America, who is then... Wolverine is then rescued by Hope. She's not in space at this point, excuse me. So she rescues Wolverine and then asks for his help to get to the area of the moon, which is called the Blue Area of the Moon. And by this point, Thor and the Secret Avengers have found the Phoenix, and they've started fighting it, and they basically just got their teeth kicked in. They're beat to hell. And the Avengers and the X-Men are back on Earth, and they're searching for Hope, and they're currently in Wakanda and the Savage Land, and a whole bunch of other places. I mean, these teams are huge, and that's why I say it's tough to get into these comics at this point, because you don't know all of these characters, but you learn them, and you learn to love them. And while they're searching for her in all of these places, Wolverine and Hope get to the moon. But while they're doing that, Wolverine turns around and he sends a message out to Captain America, who follows them with the team of Avengers, and the X-Men find out about that, so the X-Men pop in on the moon with the Avengers, with Wolverine, with Hope, and they find out about it because Emma Frost, the Diamond Girl that we were talking about, she's also a telepath. So she uses her telepathy to read Captain America's mind. And she finds out that they're going there. And the fight ensues on the moon. And during the fight, Thor comes hurling through the atmosphere and falls to the moon, smashes into the moon, and basically lets them know, you know, we screwed up. We didn't do it. The Phoenix Force is coming. And this whole time, Hope is just, you know, her power is growing and growing and growing. And she is starting to lose control of herself. She thought she could handle the Phoenix. You know, she's doubting herself now. She eventually asks Wolverine to kill her. And basically throughout this whole comic, once they first found out about the Phoenix Force, Iron Man and Giant Man have been working on a way to kill the Phoenix. Or they've been working on a disruptor weapon, kind of like the repulsors in Iron Man's suit, to kill the Phoenix. So once the Phoenix actually arrives to the moon to take Hope, Iron Man uses the weapon, but instead of killing it, the blast separates into five separate fragments, which bond with Cyclops, Emma Frost, Namor, Colossus, and Magic. These five mutants, they become the Phoenix Five, is what they're called, and they basically just wipe the floor with the Avengers, and they take Hope and they head back to Earth. And then that was basically Act One. That was It's Coming. And I believe that was, I think, two or three different comics in Act One. Act Two was No More Avengers. This takes place 10 days after the Phoenix Five were created. And they've started to create a planet that they want. Basically, they're taking Earth and they're changing it according to how they think it should be. Now they're doing some good. They're providing free energy, food and water to all of humanity, non-mutant and mutant alike, as well as ending wars and armed conflicts around the globe. But you know, people start to realize that these guys are super powerful. So the Avengers, they're summoned to the White House, and the president basically tells them, okay, so they're doing good, yes, but they need to be stopped because they're getting too powerful. I mean, we need to stop them while we still have a chance. You guys are my contingency plan. You're there in place so we can stop these people. It's just like, you're going to hate this crossover. This is just like DC, you know, Batman. Batman and the Justice League. He's got a contingency plan for every single superhero in the Justice League, including himself. He's prepared to take anybody down. Now, basically, the Avengers are the contingency plan for the Phoenix Five. They're getting too powerful. They're calling in the plan. They're calling the Avengers in to take them down. Now, they believe that hope is the key to defeating the Phoenix Five. So the Avengers launch an operation to extract hope from Utopia. But basically, they get there, and Cyclops knows about it. He's basically a god at this point. The Phoenix Five are all basically gods. And they nearly get beat by Cyclops, but are rescued by Scarlet Witch. If you don't remember her, she was Elizabeth Olsen, played by Elizabeth Olsen. You see her in Age of Ultron and Civil War. She's the one that basically creates red stuff with her hands. Now, Hope agrees to go with Scarlet Witch, and Cyclops vows that he will no longer tolerate the Avengers. He's done with their crap, and next time he sees them, you know, he's going to beat the hell out of them. And during the fight between Avengers and X-Men, now, we see the whole time that they can barely do anything to these guys. Like I said, they're basically gods, except for Scarlet Witch. She is the only one that has the ability to really do any damage to them. And she eventually injures Magic. And Emma Frost, at the same time, severely burns Hawkeye. And so they take Hawkeye. I believe he's prisoner at this point. And they heal his wounds, and Cyclops, being the leader of them, reprimands them for using excessive force. I mean, he basically tells them, you know, they're still our friends. And this is after he went nuts and already said he's no longer going to tolerate the Avengers. So he's telling him, you know, you went too far, you hurt them too badly. But, you know, Magic is having none of it. She demands that they kill Scarlet Witch. And Namor is sitting there reminding him, you know, we are at war. There's casualties in wars. So that's what happens. So we jump to Wakanda, which is the home of Black Panther, or T'Challa in the movies. You remember him from Civil War. Hope is there with the Avengers, and she tells them that the X-Men fear the Scarlet Witch. So even the Phoenix Five fear Scarlet Witch because she has abilities that can, you know, pierce their godly shell of Phoenix Fire. So at this point, Black Panther has joined Iron Man in researching a way to stop the Phoenix Five, while Iron Fist and Li Kung take Hope to Kunlun, which is the mystical city of martial arts that you can only get to through a dimension. Really kind of complicated. But you see it in the Iron Fist Netflix series, which is fantastic. You should watch it. But they mention it there, and you do see it in some flashbacks and some other scenes. So that's Kunlun and the Iron Fist. They take Hope there because of some prophecy that tells that she needs to be trained and ready for the Phoenix. So she starts training under Spider-Man. Both teams, they keep fighting, they keep taking prisoners here and there. You know, we're getting some X-Men, they're getting some Avengers. And during one of the fights, Scarlet Witch injures Namor. Furious, Namor goes nuts, and he goes into a rage. He goes against Cyclops' orders and leads the Atlanteans into a war against Wakanda. During the attack, Iron Man takes Li Kung to join Wolverine and Hope in Kunlun, so he needs to get out, and they start doing their research there. And so Captain America assembles everybody he can think of, every Avenger that can come down to take down Namor in this ridiculous fight. And one of the greatest scenes in the fight that I remember is the Red Hulk takes him down, and he's down for the count, and he grabs the Red Hulk's arm just out of nowhere and snaps it. I mean, you know, bones poking out. It's ridiculous. And it really shows the kind of ridiculous power that the Phoenix Force has given these guys. And at this point, Magneto is telling Cyclops about what Namor is doing. And the remaining Phoenix Five members arrive in Wakanda. And they basically beat down Namor. And what happens is when he gets defeated, his portion of the Phoenix abandons him and divides itself among the remaining Phoenix 5, or, well, Phoenix 4 at this time. So all of the Avengers retreat. They go all to Kunlun. And Professor X shows up, and he demands that Cyclops cease and desist the Phoenix 5 actions, or he will take them down. And this scene was fantastic. I mean, Professor X is such a badass. And his whole bit in these comics was fantastic. So, as more days pass, more and more Avengers are captured by the Phoenix 5. And the training in Kunlun with Hope and Spider-Man really... It doesn't show any results. She's not making much improvement. But the way the Phoenix 5 are treating everything and the way they're treating their prisoners makes a lot of the X-Men feel really uncomfortable. So Storm arrives in Wakanda. Now, she is married to T'Challa, or Black Panther. They are married. They're a couple. But they're on both other sides of this fight. And she arrives in Wakanda in the aftermath of Namor's assault. And tells Black Panther that the captured Avengers are being held prisoner in a volcano in Siberia. So they take this rescue mission with the help of Storm and Professor X and break out their comrades. They get to the volcano, they get in, and they get their people. And just as they're about to leave, Magic and Colossus show up. And at this point, I want to shed a little light on Spider-Man. He's fantastic in this story arc. Hope is talking to Spider-Man and Kunlun. This is previous in one of the other issues. Or, well, in one of these issues, but it was previous in the story. And she asks Spider-Man, you know, about being a hero. And basically he tells her that your moment will come. You know, you need to listen to the guys, the Avengers. You need to listen to what they're saying. Sooner or later, it will be your time to shine. It will be your time to step up to the plate and do what needs to be done. And the way he explains it is fantastic. And it comes back when we're going to fast forward back to where we were. It comes back to where the Phoenix 2, Magic and Colossus they've stopped the Avengers. And Spider-Man sees it. You know, he reminds himself, this is the time I step up. And he distracts both Colossus and Magic, and he baits them, and he takes them on. And everybody else gets out. And it's definitely not good for Spider-Man. And they beat him so badly. I mean, he's almost dead. He's internally bleeding. His limbs are broken. Colossus beats him so badly. Throughout the whole fight, Spider-Man is baiting them, and he's, you know, cracking jokes. He's being the Spider-Man all of us love. And he actually gets Magic and Colossus into fighting each other. And they knock each other out, and since they were defeated, the Phoenix Force leaves them. Oh, no, excuse me. The Phoenix Force leaves Magic, and it goes into... No, it does leave both of them, if I remember correctly. And since they were both defeated, the Phoenix Force it dissipates out of them, and it breaks up, and it hits both Emma and Cyclops. And the Avengers, they arrive back in Kunlun, but are surprised because Cyclops is there. I mean, he's just, you know, there can be only one this stuff, and he's super strong now. He's, you know, well beyond God status. And they try to stall Cyclops as fast as they can, so Hope can retreat. She's trying to retreat and find Liu Kang. And he has one final lesson, and he presents the Shao Lao the Dragon, basically the force behind the Iron Fist. Now, to be the Iron Fist, you have to defeat the dragon to accept the power. And so Hope absorbs the dragon's energy, and she manages to fight off Cyclops for a while. She eventually does fall, and she gets behind Scarlet Witch, and with the combination of both of their powers, Hope sends Cyclops to the moon. Now, the moon is this strange blue place on the moon that we were talking about, and he comes to the realization when he's on the moon that he needs to take out Emma, because he needs her power, as well as all of his power, the combined Phoenix power, to take down Hope, because she's just too powerful now. And while this is going on, we're back in Utopia, and Magneto is talking to Professor X, and he's trying to get Professor X's help, because Emma Frost just ruling with an iron fist. She's become basically a dictator. And so at this point, you know, a joint team of X-Men and Avengers, including the Hulk and Magneto, confront Cyclops and Emma on Utopia, where Professor X gets in a mental fight with Cyclops. And during this, Cyclops attacks Emma Frost, and he takes Emma's power, and this scene is epic. I mean, Cyclops and Professor X are going at it, and he's got the full force of the Phoenix Force. And he uses it, spoilers, to eventually kill Professor X. He's dead, laying in the sand. And at this point, Cyclops has completely and utterly become the Dark Phoenix. There's no way about it. He's no longer good. There's no longer a Phoenix 5. He's just gone full dark side, and it's just painted so well in the issues. If you get a chance to read them, please do. Few hours earlier, I think it was actually a couple of days before this happened, we jump back in a flashback. Hope is just frustrated over this war. She's freaking out. And she takes it out on Scarlet Witch, and they get into a fight. And this whole time, Iron Man and everybody else has been trying to figure out how to beat the Phoenix Force. And through every simulation that they run, Scarlet Witch and Hope are the two integral pieces. They have to be working together. That's the only way to take down the Dark Phoenix. And so when this happens, they get him so weak that the Phoenix eventually leaves Cyclops' body, and it hits Hope. And she's blasted with this Phoenix Force. Finally, the prophecy has come true. The Chosen One has taken the Phoenix Force, and she makes a conscious decision that she's teetering on the edge. She remembers Jean Grey. She's teetering on the edge of being Dark Phoenix, and her and Scarlet Witch both combine their power after the Phoenix power was used to extinguish the fires of Dark Phoenix and restore the mutant population. And basically, everything was put back together. You know, the mutants were starting to get born again. It was all a happy ending. And Hope and Scarlet Witch combine their powers, and they basically just wish away the Phoenix. She more or less just says no, and she sends it away. And that kind of really wraps up the issue, the story arc. So the Phoenix leaves, and Hope is left with this, for lack of a better term, this new hope. You know, there's new mutants being born, the world is getting set right, the damage has been fixed, you know, people have been brought back. Cyclops eventually gets placed under arrest, but he willingly accepts this, so sooner or later he can begin his desecration of humanity. I mean, Cyclops at this point has gone almost full-on Hitler. He is done with humanity, and he wants to take care of them. And Captain America decides to put together a new team of Avengers in order to mend the bond between the two sides. Hope joins the Jean Grey school. There was a really cool bit in one of the scenes when Cyclops is on the blue side of the moon. He uses his Phoenix power to create a dust version of Jean Grey, and they have a full-on conversation with each other, and it's actually a really great scene. And you know, he's starting to teeter on the edge. He's starting to realize you know, his inner battle and what he is becoming, basically. So the story wraps up, you know, the Phoenix Force has been disbanded back into the universe. Sooner or later, I'm sure it'll come back. Hope is, she's found a new look on life. She's going to school. The X-Men and the Avengers are working together again. There's a whole new team of Avengers. The schools are back up. More mutants are being born. So it's all happy in the end, except for Cyclops. I mean, since he went nuts and tried to kill everybody, obviously, he was arrested, and he still kind of wants to kill everybody. And wrapping up that story arc, like I said, I loved it. I thought the story was great. It was a little confusing to me because of some of the locations. You know, I'd never heard of some of the locations. Some of the characters I'd never heard of, like Liu Kang, I'd never heard of him. The more core characters I knew about, you know, obviously the X-Men and the Avengers, but there were other X-Men that I'd never heard of. You know, the Red Hulk, I had some kind of semblance of an idea of what he was. So when you get into it, when you're getting into not necessarily just this story arc, but any story arc in the comics, there's going to be things that you don't understand. There's going to be characters that you don't know and places that you don't know, especially with the Marvel Universe, because there's so many different Earths. I mean, there's Earth 616, there's the original Earth, there's hundreds of them, and I haven't even begun to really jump into that yet. But this story was a great story. There weren't that many issues. I believe there was, I think it was between 6 and 8 issues, something like that. So there wasn't a lot to chew through, and they told a lot of the story in the brunt of the comics. They did a really good job of working the story through the books. I thought it was a pretty well-rounded story. Like I said, the artwork was fantastic. That's one of the reasons I loved it so much, was the artwork. And especially the scene with Xavier and Cyclops when he eventually kills him. That was well done, very well done. I mean, some of the stuff Cyclops says and some of the stuff Professor Xavier says, it just really hits you, and it's a really powerful scene, the way it was drawn, the way it was painted, and it was just a fantastic scene. So in wrap up, I really enjoyed the story. If you did, I kind of gave a sum up of it. There's a lot more that happens in the story, so I'd pick it up and read it. There's probably hardcover books of it that you can get. I know you can definitely still get the comics, or you can use the app like I've been using, the Marvel Unlimited app. And like I said, it's a lot like Netflix for comics. So if you have any interest in picking up comic books, hopefully I've been able to help a little bit in kind of jumping in and giving a little advice on how to jump in. You know, pick a character that you know, that you like, and find a good story arc that you want to start with. And like I said, it can be kind of daunting at first. There's going to be characters you don't know. There's going to be locations you don't know. All of these characters have a huge fleshed-out history, but you're not going to learn any of it if you don't jump in. So that's basically what I've been doing. I think the next episode, I'll probably talk about the Age of Ultron series of comics that I just recently read. It was fantastic. There were a lot more comics in it, though, so it's going to be a little bit of a longer synopsis. If you guys wanted to shoot me an email for any feedback or advice or suggestions, it is comicfng@gmail.com. That's comicfng@gmail.com. You can also tweet me at comicfng, all lowercase, @comicfng, all lowercase. I hope you guys enjoyed the episode, and you guys have a good night. Happy reading.